This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. He's our closer, Jens Lewis. Back in Cleveland, Ohio, getting ready to get on the road. Are you going to get on right after the show here, Jensen? This is just, what, a hop, skip, and a jump for you to get to Morgantown?
Yeah, a little three-hour drive. We'll probably have a decent lunch, a little early dinner, and then get on the road there. So excited to get to the home of the West Virginia Mountaineers. Going to be a loaded regional there in Morgantown. Already sold out. If you have not seen Ken Kendrick Family Park, wait till you do on ESPN 2 noon, first pitch Eastern on Friday afternoon. I have already secured the middle screen at the Circus Sportsbook there in Las Vegas, courtesy of the maestro Mike Palm. We will be front and center for first pitch as the regional round gets underway on Friday afternoon.
Going to talk a little bit later on this hour with Kyle Peterson, more college baseball talk there, but it's all about the NBA and the NHL. After we saw one series get extended last night that we knew was going to be extended, one that did not in the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's where we begin today's edition of Highlights and Headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
We all knew Thursday night there'd be a chance for somebody to move on to the NBA Finals and take on the New York Knicks and start preparing there. Well, OKC took a big step in that direction last night with a relatively easy victory over San Antonio. SGA goes for 32, most of that coming at the free throw line here. And you get 22 off the bench from Alex Caruso. Those felt like, McCain, as a starter getting you 20. Those were maybe the surprises, not so much the SGA. So it's 127-114 is the final. It soars over that total. And look at the numbers. They came way down. Remember, this was 5.5 to the way of OKC. Came down to 3.5 where the close was. So San Antonio took the money, but Jensen, they did not fight for their dollars here for those backers yesterday.
A completely different fight and very one-sided considering what game four was. The Thunder were held to 82 points for the game just a couple of days ago. How about 82 points yesterday before the third quarter was about 3.5 minutes old? So what a difference a couple of days made, and the adjustments certainly there. We talked about SGA having to kind of step up and get his, you get 17 free throw attempts, you're going to be able to have every chance to get 30 or more points. But it's the physicality factor that I think is really starting to play some havoc and maybe wearing down Victor Wembanyama. A very poor shooting night from the field, albeit he does get about a dozen free throw attempts in his own right. I think you saw the Thunder and Mark Dagnall, a concerted effort, take the fight to Wemby, keep him from getting easy buckets, limit his opportunities in the paint. Wemby 0-for-5 from distance too, Dave. I think the fatigue is a real, real issue here. Will they have one final stand tomorrow night? We shall see.
Yeah, if Wemby's standing on the three-point line, just back off and let him shoot it, especially if you're Hartenstein, if you're a Chet Holmgren, and you don't want that big fella down low to deal with, just back off. And if he misses, you're going to have the rebound because there's nobody underneath. So definitely worked to their advantage yesterday with five three-point attempts and missing all of those. By the way, OKC has now gone back over $4 betting choice here to win this series here. 450 is what I'm seeing here, Jensen. So you can get over $3 here, obviously, on the San Antonio side. What do you make of that adjustment here for one game? And again, you got to win two in a row if you're San Antonio, so you probably look to the money line rollover. But do you think that OKC, again, is in that firm a command, or might we get that zigzag theory?
I think so. And that would be a fair price. And right now, Spurs $1.42 on the money line for tomorrow. Just do the math on it. You would expect if they were down to a 3.5. I got them at plus $1.65 yesterday. So again, if you're kind of doing some rough math here, if you do the money line rollover on that, let's see, what would that equate to? Probably around plus 339, plus 350. Okay. So, you know, maybe just from a look at where that conference title prop is for the Spurs, you're probably right. And that's, I'm seeing plus 350 on DraftKings. So maybe shop around and kind of build that out and see what you could potentially get. And if you think the Spurs are that team for you, then yeah, I think the money line rollover to the more advantageous avenue.
And interesting enough right now, again, if you're projecting, if you think that OKC is going to get through, SGA is the betting favorite right now, odds on to win MVP of the finals at -$1.35. So price that in for the team versus the individual, and Jalen Brunson's second betting choice at +270 as they await the winner. Right now, VGK is going to await the winner of the Eastern Conference, whether that's going to be Carolina or Montreal. Game four will be tonight, but they sweep away the Avs last night. Nathan MacKinnon was a tough guy, did give it a go, but they give up that first period goal, and then you really felt like John Tortorella kind of sat on that lead. They extended to 2-0 in the third, hold on for the 2-1 win, and this is kind of VGK style of hockey since Torts took over in the last week of the regular season. I mean, Jensen, they were not afraid to make a bold move behind the bench, and whether they win the cup or not, it's already paid big-time dividends.
I don't think they lost, right? 7-0-1 when Torts took over to finish the regular season, I think was the number there. 19-4-1 overall since he's taken over as head coach now, including these playoffs. He said from last night post-game, Dave, quote, "It's by far our best game. Checking is something we've been concentrating on, and I think we've gotten better and better through the rounds. But tonight's game was our best checking effort, and that's a hell of a hockey team we played over there." Dave, you could have found Vegas at 30-1 at Caesars at the beginning of the series to sweep. And I know at Circa, our friends there said that there were a handful of tickets on +2850, I believe, to sweep the Avs. So again, almost, you know, around 30-1, longest odds on the board for an exact series result throughout that this round of the playoffs. But I got to tell you, this is a masterclass from John Tortorella for a guy that was out of work, didn't even know if he'd have a chance to get behind the bench again, and now he's four wins from hoisting another cup. What a story that is. And I know our friends north of the border in Toronto are watching Mitch Marner and saying, the hell was this when we had opportunities in the postseason? Food for thought, Dave. Mitch Marner in 70 postseason games with the Maple Leafs, 13 goals. He has 7 goals in 16 postseason games with the Knights. Remarkable stuff here from one of the best to do it.
+$1.55 for Mitch Marner to win the Conn Smythe right now. Boy, that's got to sting the nostrils if you're up there in Toronto. If you're up there in Montreal tonight, the Bell Center is going to be rocking. We know that. Carolina is going to try to take a commanding 3-1 lead. If they can get a W tonight, they're favored to do so. Total sitting right at 5.5. This feels like kind of a carbon copy. Every time you look at the odds here for game three and now game four in the Bell Center, and obviously back in Carolina, they're going to be even a bigger favorite come game five, no matter if that's 2-2 or 3-1, gents. And I guess the question now is, what do we anticipate this series looks like when it goes back to Carolina?
Hard for me to get away from the Carolina side right now. Haven't played it yet, but in all likelihood, probably getting there later on tonight. We'll shop around for the best money line price. If you're looking to a total, I don't know how this thing goes over the way that Carolina has limited the shot opportunities and even the odd man opportunities for Minnesota or Montreal on the power play. This has been a way that Carolina has absolutely dominated throughout the postseason, save for game one, where they were obviously the rest versus rust factor and were not really themselves. These last two games has looked like them. I think that they're going to get, again, a healthy amount of shots in the offensive zone, the high danger chances in front of Jakub Dobish. You tell me, man, I don't see a path. And we try and workshop this out loud on shows every day. Give me evidence or show me an avenue to where Montreal turns this series on its head and somehow develops more chances, get more power plays, and even more with that capitalizes against Frederik Andersen, who hasn't really broken a sweat here, especially in game three.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? How can you make Frederik Andersen uncomfortable? Because I think he was the perception to be the weak link if you could get to him. And yet here he is as the shortest shot on the board to win the Conn Smythe. If Carolina were to win, you would think theoretically he's a 5-1 underdog right now to win, but it's second betting choice behind Mitch Marner. So if that's the weak link, he's going to be tough to beat if you can't get to him. So very, very tough. They protect that king pretty darn well back there in the back of the net. Cavaliers, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and looking for a different result. They're going to try to get a different result, but you're going to still have pretty much the same cast of characters. Now we'll see if that changes, whether that's a LeBron or Giannis or go make a big move there. But for the short term, it's going to be Kenny Atkinson. and it's going to be James Harden coming back to Cleveland. I don't know. You tell me, Jensen, does that excite the fan base in Cleveland this morning?
I mean, not much to get excited about. How about the last couple of days here? You get pasted by the New York Knicks, the Washington Nationals absolutely bludgeoning this Guardians pitching staff. And we get to look forward to 7-on-7 here for Deshaun Watson and Shedeur Sanders. They always say it's sunny in Philadelphia. Well, the rain keeps coming here in Cleveland. No end in sight for the ridiculousness that we've seen. Cannot wait for you to tee up Adam Burke, our managing editor, later in the show. Ask him what he feels more emboldened by. Kenny Atkinson and the expected wins. I think we did have a someone on the ground there. Kenny Atkinson did check in to a Manhattan hotel getting ready for game 5 tonight for the expected game that is not going to transpire.
The analytics game is going to be amazing to see if they can come out and pull ahead here in the series. That'll be interesting. But yeah, I'd love to ask Berkey about some Cleveland questions. I'm sure he's got some ammo today to fire back here after we ask him about Kenny and Harden coming back. Derwin James is coming back as the highest paid safety in the NFL. That's going to be supplanting Kyle Hamilton there from Baltimore. Very talented safety there as well. And if you're looking at Texas Tech futures, just know this. Brennan Scoresby, at least of today, has not been granted eligibility by the NCAA. And Jensen, we've talked a lot about this story. Feels like the NCAA is making the example out of Scoresby here.
I think you have to. So buyer beware on the Red Raiders here in 2026.
Yeah, know what you're getting, because it does not look like you're getting number two behind center this year. When we come back, let's talk about the Charles Schwab, not the investment group, the golf tournament. Yeah, we're talking golf, people, right here. It's VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
The clock is ticking on one of the best VSiN Pro offers for the entire year, but it is the final week that you can get this deal, so it's a really good one. Normally $240, you can get it for just $199. So when you sign up now, we're going to give you 2 extra months for free. So that's 14 months of VSiN Pro, and you're going to get that for less than 50 cents a day when you use the promo code PRO, P-R-O. You're going to get our daily best bets from all of our hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, matchup analysis, 24/7 live video, plus full show replays in the VSiN Watch app. You can watch those on your time as a VSiN Pro subscriber. Plus all of our special edition betting guides, plural, for every major sport throughout the next 14 months. So this offer will expire May 31st. Do not wait. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use that promo code PRO at VSIN.com/subscribe. Jensen, the Charles Schwab Challenge is this weekend. Let's be honest. It's not one of the best fields that they have, but we got Jack's tournament next week at the Memorial. And then we're going to have a little thing called the United States Open. So some guys are going to take some prep, and we understand that. Guys like Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, not going to be in the field this week. But the big Swede will be teeing it up this week. I'll talk a little bit more about that as the show goes on. But you've got some bet the builds here for FanDuel and DraftKings. Did Ludvig Åberg make your lineup?
Yeah, he sure did. And again, we'd be doing ourselves an injustice not to get the guy in the field who, as you said, in our chaos candidates, if not now, when. For those that are not acquainted with the Hogan's Alley, if you will, this is all about precision over power. And if are that person who has to go searching for your ball, don't go play this course, because the fairway is extremely tight to try and navigate here. So let's start with our showdown builds here. And I'll begin a very top heavy here on the FanDuel side. Ludvig Åberg, 12,600. Again, not overthinking it here. Let's take the best guy in the field You know, tee to green and approach, obviously someone you want to have in there. When you look for precision, we look for Russell Henley, right? A very good course fit, one of the most accurate drivers in the field. Justin Thomas, the recent momentum, Dave, has been really good. I believe that he finished top 10 here back during the pandemic year. We know his irons are great. If he can get the putter going early, he is going to be a guy to be reckoned with over the weekend. How about Andrew Putnam for 8,500? Mid-tier, reliable, good ball striker, makes a lot of cuts. Again, for the salary saver, I like him. Same thing with Kevin Yu. You're probably not going to see him in a lot of lineups, but his recent form and his approach numbers are trending in the right direction. And one of our favorites, Takumi Kanaya, very, very much a sleeper here. One of the Japanese players with great iron play. This is a lottery ticket because of the price, but we wanted to go pretty heavy at the top of the card, Dave. So I'll get your thoughts on really the big three, right? That's our anchor, Oberg, Henley, and JT, with a couple of value adds to fill up our FanDuel lineup.
I'll just say this, and Matt Eumanns was texting me last night about Ludvig because he knows how much I like to play him. And I said, look, placement markets, we'll get into some specifics later on in the program. But I said, you know, placement markets, he cashes every week, but he doesn't hit those outrights. He's getting shorted by the day here, Jensen. Remember, at the beginning of the week, you could get him around 11-1 at Circa this morning. And I just looked here behind me at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. He's down to 8-1. So I like what you've done here in, I mean, that's significant to get the big Swede now at Rory and or not quite Scotty prices, because Scotty's around 4-1 normally in the marketplace, 4-5-1 out there. But 8-1 is starting to get to that point, Jensen, as much as I love the big Swede, that I don't know that I could recommend that to people if they didn't get the better of the number here earlier at 11-1. What you might want to do is wait and see how the first round starts. But I'm with you. Don't overthink it too much. He should be around for the weekend. I don't know if he's going to close out at 8-1 here, but he should be around here in that vicinity. You have a name on the second list that I will just say foreshadowing, let's put it that way, as two guys that I am betting and certainly one guy to keep an eye on. What do you have for the second build?
Okay, we went right back to the top. Ludvig's going to be our anchor here on our DraftKings build. And again, with the smaller salary number going from 60,000 on FanDuel to 50,000 on DraftKings, we got to be a little bit more economical, shall we say. And that's where I got to Robert McIntyre as my other big dog on this list here. Again, he's a really strong competitor. We know the driving has improved. He consistently is in those high metrics of ball striking. As I had said, precision over power this week, but if you're looking for the old lefty to find his way through, maybe this is a course that if you wanted to get different from Ludvig, maybe these two guys are in the final pairing come Sunday. We shall see. Matt McCarty, not a huge name that people are going to jump out with, but again, good for tournament play. And sometimes for these lower price guys, you're looking for those just to make the cut so that you get as close to, if not all of those six guys in contention for the weekend. One of your favorites, and maybe this is the foreshadowing, Sudarshan Yelamaraju at 7,400. Obviously, we know the potential of the Canadian there. His approach game is sharp, as you well know. If it is the foreshadowing, because no one's talking about him, he can win you a lot of Scrabble tournaments. Will he win you some placement markets or maybe be a dark horse in this tournament? We shall see. Right back to Andrew Putnam. As I said, even better value on the price here than at FanDuel. Again, a cup maker, ball striker. Love that here on a precision course. And then finally, Eric Cole, a veteran, has always had good accuracy, can scramble for the price at 7,200. Dave, no delusions of grandeur. I don't think he's winning this weekend, but certainly someone to get you through at a low price to make the cut. Absolutely love the opportunity to stick him in.
I mean, we got to give away a little bit of the story here. Yes, it is Sudarshan Yelamaraju that I absolutely love on this Bet the Build here. And again, you and I do not confer, so we don't know what our selections are going to be. That's why we try to keep this show as authentic as possible. I love him on this golf course. And I'll tell you this, too. The other name that I really like outside of Ludvig, who you know I love every week, is Matt McCarty. I think McCarty and Yelamaraju are two guys in placement markets that I would certainly look at. Look, you can find Sudarshan out there around 90-1. In the marketplace as well. And I think that's a really fair price on a guy in a golf course that's not too big, but as you mentioned, the approach game is really strong. And he's the type of guy, and he's kind of wavered a little bit here in the last month or so. I really liked playing him in earlier in the year before people started to get hip to the game on Yelamaraju. there's not a lot of weaknesses in his game, Jensen. So I'm kind of looking at him on a golf course that should not be overpowering for him this weekend. Sometimes I think that's where he might be able to, he might get in a little bit of trouble. And the same can be true for Matt McCarty. And I know there's a lot of people out there that really feel like it's almost time for him to win and make a statement on the PGA Tour. So with a watered down field a little bit, even in outright markets, I would not steer you away from taking a 90 to one here, potentially in a guy like Gil Meraju, if you wanted to go down the board a little bit. Like a guy like Pearson Cootie, who cashed a big ticket for us last week, top 20, he got in there. That's not a name I want to look at this week. Yes, he can, you know, kind of bomb it out there and, you know, you hit as far as you can and kind of gouge it out of there sometimes. I don't know if that's the best recipe on a golf course like this. So I think this is one of those boards where I think you can go a little bit down the beaten path. And I like McCarty, and I certainly like Gil Meraju at those price points here that I might be taking flyers on here in outright markets as well. And I'll say this too, because if you're watching this on FanDuel Sports Network, you're seeing the name JJ Spaun pop up there at 30 to 1, Jensen. That's another guy, as we get to a golf course where you don't have to go 30 under par like we saw last week. It's not a birdie fest that we should get on a course like this. I think the winning score last year was around 12 under par. It's normally going to be right around single digit, 10 under. Those are the type of golfers that I'm looking for in a week like this, that you don't need to go out there and gas pedal this thing, you know, from 1 to 18 for the first 2 days, make sure you're around for the weekend, and then try to get to 25 under. It's not that style of golf course. So I am going to look for more of those, as you mentioned, more precision off the tee, not necessarily length off the tee. And the beautiful thing about playing Ludvig Åberg, he's one of those rare guys that has both. He really does. So we can say what we want about the big Swede and that he does not cash those outright tickets for us a lot, but he cashes those top five, top 10, and top 20. That's because Jensen, for the length that he hits it with, a la, not many people are as far as Rory. He can get it out there with Rory. Rory's still longer, but he's much more precise with that driver out there. So I do think it should be a really good weekend for the big Swede as well. So if you have him in placement markets, Jensen, not going to be mad at you if you have top five, top tens on the big Swede.
No, love it. And again, I will preview. I took five top tens this week. All five of those guys I played in outright market as well, because as you said, we don't have to worry about the biggest of big dogs that are in this tournament. So it feels a little more wide open. And I like some of the recent form guys. We'll preview that in best bets coming up.
And, you know, normally there's a tactic out there when you see somebody like Ludvig, who's $10 shorter than the next golfer. What do we normally do, Jensen? You say, all right, well, let's go to winner without that market, whether it's Rory in a given week or Scotty. I mean, can you play a winner without Ludvig Åberg market out there, people? When the guy doesn't win, he doesn't win a whole lot. There's always winner without Ludvig. So we were kidding with Matt yesterday in our text exchange about that. I'm like, I can't quit this guy, Jensen. I have to keep betting Ludvig, because eventually he's going to get in that winner's circle and not just cash those placement markets. I'm looking at you, Big Swede. Again, you can still find some 10-to-1s out there, 8-to-1s here at Circa, seeing some 9-to-1s out there at DraftKings and beyond. That is a quick look here at the Charles Schwab Challenge preview. We are back with more VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Circa's 2026 football contests are open for business right now. You don't have to live in Vegas to play. After your required in-person registration, Winner Circle Proxy is going to handle your weekly submissions so you can make your picks from anywhere in the country. Winner Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service. One trip to Vegas, play all season long from anywhere in the United States. Schedule your appointment now at WinnerCircleProxy.com. Jensen Lewis, I have already scheduled ours. I'm going to go out there next week. I'm going to meet up with our guy, Tom. So we do this just like everybody else here, people. We're not exempt from it at all. We got to be out there in Vegas, got to sign up. We'll be signing up for Circa Millions, you and I, year number two. Look, if they had a handicap us, and again, we're open to the competition here for other hosts on the network, Jensen. How do we feel about year two after year one with our first foray in the millions?
Yeah, good adjustments. We made a plan this offseason. I think obviously we'll put our record up against anyone in international play. Not sure you want to Not sure you want that noise from us on that front, but I think we'll be better off in year two.
Hashtag no kings, but we might be the kings of European football, wherever they play overseas. Brazil doesn't matter. Let's get to some Major League Baseball. The slate today here on a Wednesday. And we saw the Marlins and Blue Jays split the first two games of their series. Nationals really so far running roughshod over the Guards. Brewers look like just no slowing down there. Mariners getting the best of the A's so far here in their first two games. And the poor Gigantes, Jensen, they just don't seem to beat up on the D-backs or anybody else these days.
Yeah, again, Daily Diamond here for everyone tuning in. And obviously, this is going to be one of those split slates on getaway day here on a Wednesday. Some early action that we can take a look at. Listen, the Marlins have put up a lot of offense here this year, maybe more so than what people realize. And I think the matchup today could certainly favor them in a matinee affair. Always tough to go against Kevin Gausman, especially with him being at home at the Rogers Center. He is hysterical, too, when he posts. I don't know if you saw it on Tuesday night. He goes, if the roof isn't open, we riot. And I think that is the hysterical part of seeing some of these guys. I would expect that we'll see, at least if the weather is nice north of the border today, the roof could be open there. But a really nice power pitching matchup. I actually do kind of favor the Marlins here, Dave, as a road underdog, which they, you know, have been a while this year. They are underwater at 6-10, but the way that we've gone here and seeing the inconsistency of the Blue Jay lineup might be an advantageous spot if you want to back the dog here in the first game of the day.
So right now, plus $1.29 is what I'm seeing on Yuri Perez here against Gausman, $1.56 if you're backing the Blue Jays in that spot. Jensen, as we continue here with the Daily Diamond, sorry, boys, I ran through that stop sign there before this segment here. The Guards really have been struggling against the Nats, Jensen. Can they get off on the good foot today and at least salvage one here against Washington?
They better start scoring because that's all the Nationals do these days. And it was another offensive outburst yesterday, early 4-0 lead. Nationals make it stand up. They're going for the sweep of the Guardians today. But I do think we get some resistance, and I think Gavin Williams, boy, the elixir you're looking for, outstanding start previously in Philadelphia against Christopher Sanchez, one of the best pitch games all year, Dave. This a classic, decide what your risk is here against Miles Michaelis. Would you want to lay the run line here at plus $1.09, or you could probably take the alternate run line to be safe since it is the home team, Dave, something Adam Burke and I always like to do. And if you are looking that route, it's probably a shorter price than laying the $1.93 on the money line for Cleveland today. That would be my recommendation in that one. Looking at a couple other early ones, Cardinals and Brewers, it's been an offensive explosion here for the Brew Crew, but I think we might get a little more run suppression today. Brewers have not announced a starter just yet, but it will be Dustin May for St. Louis. He's pitched the ball really well for a surprising Cardinal team. Brewers have taken advantage, though, and handled this series this far. So the under 8.5 would be a lean for me. Mariners Athletics, really one-sided matchup here, Dave. And you're getting a short money line price on Logan Gilbert for the Mariners. $1.31 at DraftKings right now. Very much like that spot against the first place Athletics. They'll send Jeffrey Springs to the mound today. That is I think if you're looking to a money line early on today, that might be a spot to go to.
Let me ask you a little bit more and drill down a little bit on the Nats, because they're two games over 500. Right now, they're a game and a half back of a wild card spot. Yet they are 13-1 to make the postseason. The Mets, who are 8 games back of a wild card spot, are 6-1. I mean, wrap your head around that. The Mets are 6-1. The Nats are 13-1. And even a team that you know I like, the Fighting Fish there, are at 14-1 to make a wild card. By the way, there's no way I'm playing the Mets at 6-1 to make the postseason. Whether they make it or not, that's not the point. That team is just a dumpster fire. With the Nationals and the way they hit it, and I wonder, again, we've talked about this a little bit before the year, as far as impending doom with a potential lockout, whatever you want to call it here for Major League Baseball, would the Nats go make moves if before the trade deadline here, they go get some more pitching? Because Jensen, at 13-1, I'd rather take a nibble on that or the Marlins at 14-1 before I'd ever even look at, say, the Mets at 6-1 to make a run here for a wild card spot.
Listen, you're looking at the top scoring offense in baseball right now, and a lot of the other categories really are great offensively. Top five in homers, top four in OPS. They're actually third in stolen bases, so the dynamic of the offense has been really remarkable. They're going to get a crash course in going up against some better starting pitching, though, when they come back home. San Diego for three, and then the Marlins with all the big boys in that rotation. Alcantara, Yuri Perez, Max Meyer, all the probables there. For what all of a sudden becomes a pivotal National League East division series beginning next week. So like the offense, they need some more help as far as the pitching goes, but still one of the best stories thus far in the National League. That indeed are the Washington Nationals. Phillies and Padres, by the way, that Diamondbacks Giants game, I know yesterday, very interesting to see that pitching matchup, but today, Michael Soroka, Trevor McDonald in a getaway day. Ball travels a little bit differently during the day than it does with the marine layer there at night. I still think, though, with the struggles of the Giants offense, I would lean towards the under 7.5. Soroka has been one of the best starters for the Diamondbacks this year, so I like that price. Also out west in a matinee affair, hey, Christopher Sanchez, come on down. How do you continue this scoreless streak? Well, you get Walker Buehler and the Padres on the road here. I know it's a more bloated money line price, but hard to get away from the dominance that he's had looking at not only how he was scoreless and flawless against the Guardians in his last start there at Citizens Bank Park. But Dave, if you go look back at where he's been now, you know, the month of May is a scoreless month of May. We're talking 32 innings of scoreless baseball, 36 strikeouts against three walks. The Phillies would be the lean for me in that series finale against the Padres today.
Yeah, I can't go against him right now with the role that he's on, even though it is $1.67, that price point we're seeing there. Boy, if you've been fading the Cubs here in this 10-game losing streak, Jensen, you could have made a ton of money. But how did we possibly see this coming? Could we see this free fall happening?
I don't know if we could. But today might be the day that they finally get back on the right side. As Dave alluded to, a $100 better. If you rolled the money line fading the Cubs during this 10-game losing streak, you are netting a profit of $155,000. I would pocket it today. If you have had the foreshadowing ability, I think finally we get the Cubs back on the right side of things. It is Jameson Taillon up against a tough customer in Bubba Chandler. They are a short underdog here on the road, but enough's enough. You know, whether they got to break out some shenanigans, what have you, I think the Cubs finally find their way back to a win. One total that I did put in already, Dave, it's a night game tonight. Twins and White Sox going to play an alternate over eight at -$1.08. Minnesota is 16-10 to the over as a road team this year, and the White Sox have been pretty resilient in scoring runs after a loss, 15-11 to the over after a defeat, which they had last night. So I think we get some offense. Pitching matchup today going to be Connor Prelip and David Sandlin. And so an over eight, I know it's at $1.18. I found $1.08 on Novig, best price I'm seeing there right now. So that would be a total. And then Dave, we talked about Shohei Ohtani getting hit by that pitch. He is going to be on the mound tonight against the Rockies. Opta AI is very bullish on the under in his strikeout prop today. This is fascinating. So Opta AI has him projected below five strikeouts. His prop is 7.5. I will happily take the under because it is the pitching hand he got hit on. So we'll see if there's any lingering effects. They're going to be ultra cautious. I'm playing the under 7.5 -$1.24 in that regard.
The Dodgers are -424 on the money line against Sugano and the Rockies today. I say again, the Dodgers are -420, not a series price, individual game, one game. I mean, that's I don't know that I've seen one higher. 424 with Ohtani on the bump today against the Rocks. Fascinating. Kyle Peterson is going to join the program next and talk all things college baseball as we get ready for the road to Omaha. Next, right here on VSiN by the Books. We'll be right back.
into VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross Jensen Lewis here with you on this Wednesday. I know it's so funny how excited my mom gets to know that you're going to be in Morgantown to cover some college baseball here now that we are set for the college football playoffs and the Road to Omaha officially begins. So you're going to be taking off here after the show today, and then you're going to be calling some baseball for us the next couple of days. What is that like for you, Jensen? You've done a lot of prep, obviously, for all these teams here as we get from what we do in a betting perspective. But what are you looking for bettable teams out there that are not just, say, the UCLAs and the top dogs out there?
Yeah, certainly it is all about the bracket and the draw. And there are regions where some of the higher seeds did get a benefit of the doubt. There are some top seeds that, boy, they got a tough road. North Carolina jumps out for sure. The Chapel Hill Regional, very, very difficult. I know you have a ticket on East Carolina. Tennessee is a two seed there. So a very, very challenging one. On the flip side of it, I would look at Florida as the national eight seed. I think their road, very advantageous, knowing they'll take on the winner of that number nine national seed in Southern Miss for the Hattiesburg Regional. But up and down, my friend, we have a hell of a weekend in front of us. Really, really great stuff for this regional draw for sure.
Let's keep this conversation going with Kyle Peterson, ESPN senior college baseball analyst. Give him a follow on X at KP_Omaha. And we appreciate Kyle joining us here in the Progressive Guest Line this morning. You're going to be out there at the Lincoln Regional here in Nebraska with Carl Ravage. So that's going to be a lot of fun, Kyle, going out there. And I know Jensen's excited to call some baseball as well. What will you specifically be looking for there, Kyle, in Nebraska?
I just like the fact that I'm a senior baseball analyst. I've graduated now. I feel so much better about myself. What do I like? I like that it's a 45-minute drive, which is wonderful because I've been on the road for 8 days. I like that Nebraska hasn't hosted since 2008. Nebraska is a really good sports town, sports state, honestly. And they're going to go nuts. They averaged, I mean, I think they were 10th in the country this year in attendance, which would surprise people. And the whole thing's already sold out. Ole Miss is really good. That's a two seed. They swing and miss a bunch, but if they don't swing and miss, it goes a long ways. And if they don't swing and miss for three straight days, they got a chance to get out of here. And Arizona State has one of the best players in the country. And I would say a team that if they play like they do on their best days, has a chance to play for a couple weeks. So, I mean, selfishly, it's great because it's right down I-80, but it's three really good clubs. South Dakota State's there too. Sorry, I'm not sliding South Dakota State, but I don't see them getting out of this one.
I agree, KP. And again, kind of our handicap for our audience too is, you know, looking at advantageous spots for teams to not only advance to super regionals. I'll get your thoughts later on maybe some teams you think have a great shot into Omaha. Yeah. Is there a number one seed after the draw that you think is most vulnerable here in this regional round, whether it is a top eight national seed? I'll give you the floor on all 16. After you saw the draw, a one seed that you feel has a real tough challenge to get out of where they're hosting.
I think Hattiesburg is really tough top to bottom. So there's some that could be a tough two or a tough two and a three. I think Hattiesburg is a tough all the above. Little Rock took LSU to seven games last year in the regional. They're back. And they are the four. Jacksonville State is the best three in the country. And Virginia was top 10 before they started getting hurt early in the season. Then they got hurt. Well, now they're not hurt. So if I were kind of to look at, okay, if you look at all four teams, what's the toughest one? I think I'd probably say Hattiesburg. You know, a few that I look like, I mean, I guess some people think would be, not cakewalks, but would be straightforward that I don't think they are. Oregon State's going to get super interesting because both of them are essentially the same seed and apparently they don't like each other a whole lot. So that could get kind of fun too. And KU, I mean, KU, you got Arkansas as a two, Missouri State as a three. Arkansas, Missouri State is worth watching day one. I don't know if it's on linear or digital, but they hate each other. And when they played earlier this year, darn near fought five or six times. And now they get to play game one of a regional that is at neither home ballpark. And it always used to be Missouri State would get sent to Arkansas every year. Arkansas would host, Missouri State would go there. Some days he beat them, some years they didn't. Well, this year they're at KU, and they already have some history this year. So I think KU is another one that's totally wide open.
A good old-fashioned sports aid, Kyle. We certainly enjoy that here on VSiN by the Books. You know, this is a question we have a lot in college basketball about when you get an overall number one, like, say, UCLA, and you're going to go, well, strength of schedule. How good was their actual strength of schedule here? And I know you can find some books where Georgia Tech is right there with them for short shots to win this whole thing. Where are you on UCLA? Should they be the rightful, in your eyes, team to beat in this tournament?
Yeah, but I don't think it's a, I don't think it's by a wide margin at all. I mean, listen, they did play some other clubs. They swept TCU. Granted, TCU didn't get in, but they swept TCU. Who did they beat? Three SEC teams. It was Mississippi State. I think it was Tennessee. I don't know who the other one was. But they went and went 3-0 against the SEC on the weekend. Like, they didn't just play West Coast teams the entire year. Well, obviously, they're in the Big Ten, so they didn't. But, yeah, they're really good. I mean, this is a – it's a junior class that they're – basically, there's eight juniors in their offensive lineup. Their freshman year, they were sub-500. Their sophomore year, they went to Omaha. And now their junior year, they've been number one since February. They're really good. They're really, really good. They got the number one – picking the draft, playing shortstop, but two things. One, I don't think they're markedly better than everybody else. I think Georgia Tech's right there. I think Georgia's right there. I would argue Florida is right now, which may be a little bit off the map a little bit, but I think Florida is too. And two, it's baseball. And a guy can lose a ball in the sun, or you can hit a ground ball to his first base, and it totally changes the entire game. And it doesn't mean one team's better than the other team. It means that day it was just in your favor. So it's one of the reasons we love the game if you're on one side. It's one of the reasons we hate the game if you're on the other side.
Amen to that. Going to be a lot of those regionals, too, where if you get an upset early coming through that loser's bracket, for people that don't know, if you don't have the depth of pitching, you are in real, real trouble. Favorite non-one seed here, KP, of all the regionals. So if a one seed doesn't get through in a spot, do you have a two or a three? I don't know if we got a Cinderella spot here for a four. But do you have a favorite two or three that you really like to make it maybe not only through to supers, but could be one of those darlings to get to Omaha?
Yeah, I'll give you two twos and one three. Oklahoma State's one, and Oklahoma State would be the first one. Oklahoma State's second in the country in home runs. They go to Alabama, which Alabama had a hell of a year. And I think they probably outpunched what they are, which is it's a compliment. I don't know that they're the seventh best team in the country, which is what they're seeded right now, but the body of work says that they deserve that, and they absolutely deserve it. Oklahoma State is really dangerous right now. Now, they got to go on the road. For them, it's probably a good thing. Stillwater has not been kind to them in recent years when they've hosted, so it's probably not a bad thing that they go on the road. The other two seed would be Arkansas going to Kansas. I saw Arkansas at the SEC tournament. When they're right, they're really good. They're not incredibly deep on the mound, which is different for Arkansas. Usually they are. But the offense got going that weekend. If they can pitch enough, I think Arkansas's got a real chance to hit their way out of Lawrence. And I'd take a flyer on Jacksonville State as a three. If you go look at Jacksonville State, they've won 40-some games. They absolutely should not have been a three seed for me. Not that it matters. I mean, two seed, three seed, you play each other. So it's one's the home team, one's not. But that being said, if you want to look at a three seed, I think Jacksonville State's the one that is the one that nobody wanted to pop up in their regional. I'll tell you that.
Got about 45 seconds to go here with Kyle Peterson, ESPN senior college baseball analyst. And as the top dog there, Kyle, I got to ask you, as we do for every bracket, who's going to be the final two at the end of the day here when you look at the crystal ball? Who's going to be playing in that College World Series?
I love you guys, but I don't play that game because then everybody else hates me and I got to call it. So I learned this a long time ago. I got enough people that already hate me. I don't need more people to hate me. So here's what I want. I want clean games. I want quick games. I want a couple home runs, and I want a full ballpark. And if you give me that, then we got a really good run.
You're the best, dude. I can't wait to watch you guys in Lincoln, man. That is going to be a hell of an environment. So Tommy Hart and I will look in on you from Morgantown for sure.
Give Tommy my best, man. You got a pro with you. You guys love fun. What's up? I'm sorry.
That's how you become the senior college baseball analyst with answers like that. That's a fantastic.
Well, yeah, the senior college baseball analyst has to have readers now too. So we've advanced to that point in our life also.
So do I, Kyle. I'm right there with you. We're back. It is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.